Hi there. Welcome to Extra Innings, covering all the bases. On Extra Innings, we talk about all kinds of issues. And on tonight's show, we have a really good friend of mine who I met in Morristown, New Jersey. First, I'll tell you a little bit about the show, what we talk about. We cover all kinds of subjects, such as mental wellness, mental illness, all different kinds of disorders and people may have, or different challenges that people go through throughout their lives. On the show, we do and talk about the journeys of people who have faced these challenges that are basically universal. I am the host of the show. My name is Albert Dabba. I am a filmmaker, a life coach, and a mental health advocate. Extra Innings comes from a film that I've written, produced, directed, and acted in. It's an award-winning film, and it's currently on many platforms, including Amazon. So I would like to introduce to you Rabbi Baruch Klar. Baruch, how are you tonight?
I'm good, thank God.
Good.
Good to see you.
Good to see you, too. I haven't seen Baruch live in a while, but I see him right now. And I moved to Morristown years ago when Baruch used to live there with his family, and I moved there with my family, and we became good friends. One of the things I always remember about Baruch is that we used to play racquetball together. So Baruch has a really interesting background. And I'd like him to share a little bit about it. So Baruch comes from Montreal, Canada, and he traveled and hitchhiked cross country, as I recall from what you have told me, when you were, 19 years old or something like that?
Yeah.
And you went to California. So tell us about your background, and everyone will find out why you're such a special man.
Oh, please.
Yes, no, you really are. Baruch has with three people. He has, and I want him to tell us about it rather than me to just tell you about it. So tell us about that experience of yours, why you left home from Montreal and went out to California. And what you did in California.
So I think that I grew up as a good kid that wanted to make a difference in the world. I felt that at the time, I'm talking like 60s, early 70s, I felt like there wasn't much I could do about things. There was starvation in Biafra. There was a war in Vietnam. I was Canadian. I was out of it. There were things happening in places that I just couldn't do anything about. So my last year of university, I met some supporters from the Farm Workers Union in California, people that work for the union for Cesar Chavez. I don't know if the people know about it today, but in the 60s and 70s, it was huge. It was a way for people who were suffering and struggling to win a battle in a nonviolent way. It just spoke to me in every way possible. I think Cesar Chavez was a remarkable human being, and I was honored to work with him for almost 2 years. I think the farm workers allowed me to do something like in this continent, at least, where I could make a difference and where I could actually not talk philosophy, but live it. So I actually took my honors degree in political philosophy, which I could do nothing with, really, other than hitch across the country and down the West Coast and check into the union. And I was assigned an area of San Pedro, South Bay of Los Angeles. It's next to Long Beach, and also the area called Rancho Palos Verdes. And I spent 2 years working there, organizing in the city, because you can't beat some of the big business on their terms. So the union felt that if you could boycott product and cut back even 15% into their profits, you can make a big difference. And we really did in a nonviolent way. We organized in the cities. We did a lot of good stuff. I also spent some time in this in the fields a little bit, just meeting people, demonstrating. Met some famous people out there while I was there a little bit. You know, I stood in a picket line with Joan Baez, Donald Sutherland, Jane Fonda. There were a lot of people there that supported the movement. It was a beautiful, sincerely nonviolent way to bring just basic human rights to human beings. And I thought that if this is the way people have to live in America, North America, and I could do something about it, I'm there. So that's what I did. That was 1974 to 76.
So during that time, obviously you left your family. You went by yourself?
Yeah.
And after that, my understanding is you got into the Chabad movement. Was that right after that, or how did that happen? And maybe you could let the people know what Chabad is.
What that means?
Yeah.
Okay. It actually, when you think about it, it was really the next step. I had studied rational Western philosophy. I felt very limited by it. I felt there's got to be something more than this. And when I spent that time in California, I read all the counterculture books. Don Juan, Black Elk Speaks, the Indians, Baba Ram Dass. It was like all the stuff that people read and enjoyed and discussed in those days. And I just found it fascinating to get into more spiritual things, not just what I had learned. I felt there was something more. And one day somebody said to me, you know, you're Jewish, maybe check into Kabbalah. Now, that just sounds a little weird because today everybody knows what Kabbalah is. I mean, since Madonna, everybody knows what Kabbalah is. So at the time, I never heard the word. I just thought that there was something in Judaism that was mystical and spiritual, and I hadn't seen that in my life, and I wanted very much to learn it. And I started to study. I have found two books in English on the subject because Kabbalah is, it's deep Jewish philosophy. Much of it is written in Hebrew or Aramaic. And I found two books in English. One was by a professor at Hebrew University in Jerusalem. He was called The Accountant because it was pretty straightforward, something he was talking about and teaching about, but nothing he had experienced. It was pretty dry. It wasn't what I was looking for. And there was another book by a Reform rabbi in South Orange, New Jersey, that was pretty interesting. He had done some interviews. It was called 9 1/2 Mystics. He had interviewed some very, very special holy people, and one of them was the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And when I read the book, I just said, I don't know anything about this, but this is amazing. This is fascinating. I got to find out more. So I was reading these books, and I got to tell you, there was a 6-month period between California and when I came back to Morristown, New Jersey. I came to Morristown, New Jersey because there's a rabbinical college, at Yeshiva, which is a school for people to learn Torah in a very deep way, full time. But there's a special program in this place for people who have very little background. So I came in with very little background, really. I could barely read the language, and I discovered depth like I had never seen before. I just said, this is incredible. I'm talking about after a full university career, I'm looking at stuff that I grew up with that seemed, I don't know about irrelevant, but certainly not an important part of my life. And all of a sudden it's like, it's teaching me things that where's this been all my life? And the fact is, it was there. I just didn't have that connection. So there was a point where I was living on this commune in the eastern townships in Quebec. And I was getting into natural health and medicine because I left California pretty sick. There was a lot of pressure, 7 days and nights a week, working and, you know, really killing yourself for the cause. And I just, it was not in great shape. So I got into all this stuff. And one day I'm in a health food store. And Montreal is divided into English and French. It's pretty much 99%. East is French and West is English. It's just the way it always has been. There's no animosity. It's just the way it is. I mean, you live with people you can talk to, you know? So I was in the totally east side of the city in a health food store where nobody spoke any English. And I'm standing at a bookshelf in the health food store. And this lady comes up to me and she says in English, "If you're looking for a book on macrobiotics," which I was, but I don't know how she knew that, "I recommend a book by Michel Abicera, who is a master of macrobiotics, and he's also a follower of the Lubavitcher Rebbe." Now, I just thought this was something I got out of a Baal Shem Tov story. This is like a miracle. This is incredible. First of all, I'm standing there. I got hair down to my waist. I don't quite look like a rabbi. I don't know that I look Jewish at all. And this woman speaks to me in English and tells me about the connection between what I'm looking for and the deepest Judaism I've ever heard of. She makes that connection. And I just thought that was like a real gift from above. And I mentioned this to some of my friends at McGill University, and this woman said to me, "You know, I've seen that name. I think he came to speak already, or he's coming to speak." And I thought, I believed, if I believe anything spiritual, that everything's for a reason. That's all I really understood at the time. And if he's coming to the city to speak, I have to be able to hear him. And I called every organization in the city that I could think of, and nobody knew what I was talking about. And then somebody said, "Try calling Chabad at McGill campus." And I never heard of Chabad. This is incredible, because when I started with Chabad, it was really, I don't want to say fringe, but it was very unheard of. And it's developed now to a point where it's everywhere in the whole world. I mean, Chabad is Judaism in the world. Every college campus, every city around the world, every country, places where you can't even imagine. Like, there's Chabad houses in China and Japan and in Vietnam and Cambodia and Laos and Siberia, Alaska. I mean, it's just everywhere, and it's tremendous. And what it was that so I found out that he was speaking there, and it was just a couple of days ahead. And I went there, and that was basically my turning point. I met a person who was very spiritual, very fascinating, very bright, very charismatic, tall, thin, like a Moroccan type, like actually a descendant of the Baba Sali, the big, great chief Sephardic rabbi of Israel. And I just said, "This is it. I got to learn more." And to make a long story short, I spent many, many hours and nights talking to people in a two-week period. To professors at McGill University, to rabbis who had been through a lot, and people that gave me a lot of time and energy. And I talked till 4 a.m. one night, two nights, three nights, and I just decided, you know what? This sounds strange, and people don't usually make such rash decisions, but this has been something I've been looking for a long time. And I studied plenty of philosophy and read plenty of books, and I was really moving along. And I just felt I had to go to I heard about this place, Morristown, and the rabbi said, "You know, you could just learn a little bit on your own. I'll teach you. We'll do this." And I got to go, no, you don't get it. I got to go. I got to immerse myself. This is what I've been looking for. And that was March of 1976, and I never left.
Wow. We're going to have to stop for a minute. We have a commercial coming up, but that's pretty amazing with all the background that you've had and how that. We made that connection there. Anyway, we'll be right back with Baruch Klar in just a moment. Thank you.
Have you ever thought of reinventing yourself? Are you looking to create a new life's journey? Hi, I'm Kevin Barbaro, host of Coffee Talk XL every Tuesday night, 5, 8 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live to hear me and my guests from a variety of different backgrounds. As a former college coach and a current full-time actor and owner of multiple companies, my show is as eclectic as my life. That's Coffee Talk XL every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you interested in having a better relationship with yourself, others, and God? Greetings. I'm your host, Dr. George Andow, for the show A Journey Through Into Awareness. On my show, we journey into the awareness that the mind of God is the true seat of our personal consciousness. We join together each Monday at 7 p.m., so tune in on Talk Radio NYC.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
We're back at Extra Innings, covering all the bases with Rabbi Baruch Klar. So, Baruch, so you decided to join, like, full-time the rabbinical college at that point?
Well, it was a school. Yeah, I decided to sit and learn, catch up, you know, because I didn't have that background. And I'll tell you, I mentioned before that I felt Western rational philosophy was very limiting. I mean, you can only understand something to the extent that your intelligence allows you. But I felt there was something beyond us. I felt that we were limited, and I felt I could learn something more. And what I saw was all the stories and things I grew up with that seemed to be just nice little stories turned out to be lessons for life that I just thought was incredible. And I decided this is what I have to do with my life. So I feel like I did great work in California. I helped a certain group of people in a certain time in a certain place. I'm not sorry about it. It was an amazing experience. We did great things. We helped a lot of people. But somehow all of a sudden I felt that this kind of Judaism for me was something where I could change the world, not just in a physical way, not just in a particular place and time, but forever. Always, and in a spiritual way, really make a difference in the world, like bring the world to a place of goodness and kindness and truth. And I've pretty much been working through that for it's been about 45 years already. I think lately I would say that, you know, since I work in the community and I want to help people, I'm not a therapist, I'm not a counselor, I'm a rabbi, and I feel like I've been through a lot in the last 20 years or so, a real lot, a lot of difficult times, a lot of things where I felt like, again, God, what do you want from me? Again? Mm-hmm. And it's almost like now I see, well, yeah, if you listen to me, I wouldn't have to keep throwing these lessons at you. But I feel like I've learned enough to actually really help people, not just teaching the wisdom of Judaism, but teaching it in a way that it applies. That's what Hasidic philosophy does. That's what Chabad stands for. When you learn something, you don't learn it for the sake of the intellectual stimulation you learn it in order to be able to integrate it in your life, to become intimate with it, and to share it with other people and change their lives. Give them something. Give them a way to recognize who they are on the inside. We all have within us a piece of godliness, literally. That's what we're taught. And if you can find it and express it, you can really do well. So, you know, I mentioned trauma, and I know this is what you do, and I was fascinated by your movie and what you're doing. I've just been spending a lot of time trying to put my own life together and learn from all my sources, many Jewish sources, some non-Jewish sources, we at Chabad realize that that it's a very serious issue out there, that we came to it just before we talked, actually. It's kind of interesting. We started a Chabad of New Jersey mental health initiative.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. We recognize that mental health is an issue, that most people suffer from some sort of trauma or another. Now, I don't want to compare it to what you discuss in the movie. It's not suicide necessarily, but it's certainly about depression, about trauma, about not being able to cope, about looking for direction, finding purpose in your life. These are the things that help. And that's what I learned. That's what I've been learning and sharing with people. So we took like a 2-day course in training. We're not trained to be professionals, but we're trained to help and be able to pinpoint perhaps something that where we could send a person to the proper source, to the proper person. We have a whole system now of people that are there. They're there for people, and it's a whole network of people that really can help change people's lives. So that's basically where we are in our lives today. So we're almost kind of in the same situation. But in my work, I meet tons of people. I teach a lot. The classes I teach are not just classes anymore. Every class is a question, part one question, part two answer, part three. So what does that do for my life? Or your life? What does it mean? And that's what Hasidic philosophy is. And I love it. I just love it. I love it more. When I told you that I went to Morristown in 1976, I loved it. I loved it. And I decided to stay. I actually love it more today than I ever did even then. It's just 45 years later. And it's not something you can run out of steam. It's not something that you got it and you don't need it anymore. It's life. You grow with it. As you know, you go through tests and challenges. One of the things we learn is that you may be in a place of darkness, but the whole purpose of darkness is not just to bring light, but to transform the darkness into light. In other words, that's what we're here for. We have a purpose. I'll tell you a couple of people that are Holocaust survivors I don't usually go that direction, and I don't read books on the Holocaust. I find it incredibly depressing. But I read a book called Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl, which was just wonderful. He talks about how you could be being beaten by a Nazi SS guard and be more free in your mind than he could ever be. And it's an incredible concept. The space between stimulus and response is where our freedom lies. It's all in your mind. And you could choose. You could choose to be a victim, or you could choose to be other than that. And I just finished a book by someone who became very close to Viktor Frankl. Her name is Dr. Edith Eger. Have you heard of the book, The Chosen? I didn't want to read it at first, but I was told it was really excellent. The first book is about her experience, her first years in Auschwitz as a young girl. It was hell. I mean, you read it and you can't believe that people could treat people like that. She basically survived. They found her, the American troops came in and found her a pile of bones on top of a skinny little nothing left, almost very sick, broken back, all kinds of issues on top of a pile of dead bones. Like I think sometimes people talk about it and they just, you can't get it. You know why you can't get it? Because you can't believe that such a thing could happen. And yet it happened. But she says, you have choice in your life. Imagine you went through a Holocaust, you went through hell, you almost died, you were on a death march, you don't know how you survived the whole thing. And then she came out of it and spent the rest of her life and the book. And by the way, she's 96. She wrote her first book at 92 and her second book at 94. She's an amazing person. Her first book is called Choice and the second book is called The Gift. And what she's saying is that somehow you just get that what you go through is it's not just life happening at you. It's not to get you. God is not a punishing God. I can't explain it in terms of a Holocaust because that is so far out, so wicked, so evil. But in terms of our personal lives, we go through things so that we should be able to overcome them. There was a point in my life that I was just blown away. It just occurred to me, like, why are all these things happening? It seems to be over and over again. Like, God, what do you want from my life? And then And then I got a lesson that was just incredible. He wants to help you grow. He wants to give you an experience that you will overcome, that you will be tested by and challenged by, and you will overcome it. And you will bring all kinds of, your life will change. I know I said this, and I read this in an article just the other day. If somebody said to you, you know, if you could go back and live that 20 years over again without any of the calamities and trauma that you went through, would you do that? And I think anybody who's been through it would actually say, no, I the person I am today is so different than the person I would have been without all those experiences. Was it difficult? Was it hell? Was it painful? A lot of tears? Yeah, it was. But what I've learned and how I can share that with other people, and like Dr. Eger says, you know, find the choice. The whole rest of her book, after the Holocaust part, after Auschwitz, is about her life. She becomes a, she was like an Olympic dancer before the Holocaust. After that, she was broken. But she becomes a therapist, even at an older age, I think into her 40s. And she becomes a renowned therapist. She's really great. She's got all this knowledge. She's very close to Viktor Frankl. She's gotten degree after degree. She's just an amazing person. But she goes through things too. She goes through life. She has her challenges. She started from a very difficult place, and she had tremendous challenges along the way. And you see how she deals with those challenges. And it's always like, it's always without, you know, if you live in the past, you live in a place of pain and darkness. You have to find a place to move into the future, to move forward, and to make something of your life, and to say, that's not for me. I don't have to stay there. I can choose a different way of life. And she chooses throughout the book. She chooses over and over again. And I just thought it was tremendously exhilarating and uplifting, especially for a person like that. With what she had been through.
Yeah.
So again, I was thinking before, it's not just to find the light in the darkness, but rather to transform the darkness into light. I'll tell you one little thing, and we're coming on a break, but in the Jewish calendar, the day starts not with the sunshine in the morning, it starts the night before, because basically that's what life is about. It starts with darkness. It starts with darkness, but then it ends in light. And it's kind of like what you can do. You start in darkness, but you're going to create light. You're going to transform that darkness into light. And the light that comes from darkness is a much greater light than just the light itself. You know what I mean? If you open the lights now in a light room, it'll be brighter. But if you open the lights in a very dark room, it will transform the darkness into life and into light. The same thing, light and life. And That's what I've learned, and that's what I like to share with people. And I, you know, it's not easy, and everybody has a different thing. There's all kinds of traumas that people to live with. There's people who are just depressed. It's a very hard life. You just went through COVID. Even if you were doing fine before COVID, you went through difficult times. So there's people that are just sensitive people that suffer, and then there are people that are victims of other people's misuse and abuse. And It's awful, frankly. It's really awful, but we can grow from that experience.
Yeah, Bharat, this is really, really good stuff. I want to, after the break, get back to you about, you know, I read Viktor Frankl's book 3 times, and I've gotten so much from that book. So we'll be right back after this commercial with Bharat Klar. Thank you, Bharat.
Uninformed about menopause and how it impacts on your life? Hi, I'm Pat Duckworth, women's health strategist and host of the Hot Women Rock radio show, empowering women leaders at menopause. Join me every Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. UK time on talkradio.nyc for interviews with inspirational women who will share their top tips to rock your world.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Do you run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Hi, we're back with Baruch Klar. Baruch, I wanted to ask you, you have seen the film Extra Innings that I made, and I was curious, and I remember speaking to you before the film came out, because I got to know a bit about Chabad while I was living in Morristown when my father passed away. I remember going to the rabbinical college every day to say Kaddish. And I got to know a lot of the people there and the way of life a bit. And it was such a warm place. And our families got to know each other. And then I remember you moved to West Orange. And then, you know, we used to play racquetball. That was fun with Dan Harris. And we're going back some time now. But I think one of the things you brought up before is about, you know, trying to find your way in life. You know, everyone has a choice to make, and some people aren't aware of their choices unless they find someone, an attachment, someone to talk to. If they're having a certain challenge or problem in their life, the website that you sent me the other day to listen to, yeshiva.net, I believe it was called.
The yeshiva.net. It's a Rabbi Jacobson. It's just incredible. If anybody wants to just hear what I'm talking about, he's the best presenter of it. With his depth and compassion and meaning and purpose, it's just all there. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so I listened to Rabbi Jacobson, the seminar you told me about. And it made me think about, you know, I came from a place where there was a really tough time in a dysfunctional family. Just to use that phrase where, you know, the way I look at it was, you know, if I look back and say, would I choose that? Well, it has made me a better person in my life to work through the pain that was in my family. And not just by writing and making the film, but by living that with the family that I live with and seeing the pain that was going on with my brother and sister and my father and my mother and my other sister and how everyone deals with it. And I decided to write the movie because I felt like there are so many people out there also having the experience of being a therapist, working as a therapist, that there are so many people out there who feel alone and feel disconnected. And it can get to the point where they just want to say, screw it. I can't take this anymore. This is too rough for me. And they'll make that move. Some people might get addicted to drugs and then go too far and take their lives by it, or just decide to take their lives.
So commonplace today.
And I find that the purpose of me of doing this podcast and making the movie was to basically let people know you're not alone, that there are people out there that not only can help, but that share your same kind of similar kind of pain, and that it's important to be able to get help and find that place that you feel you can fit in, at least to the sense where you can get your balance together. And whatever faith you come from, and whatever measure you can find, whether it's a therapist, a best friend, even that rabbi mentions even taking ayahuasca, which is an LSD kind of drug that I know people have taken it. And I was amazed when he said that, because it made me think, wow, he really seems to know about a lot to even mention that. And in other words, it seemed to me as he was without judgment. And
oh, great point.
And that is so important, because, you know, we have a tendency as human beings to judge other people. Am I better than you? Are you better than me? In some ways, there's such a sense of, how much money do you make? How far are you up that ladder of success or whatever it is? And I find myself in doing this podcast, like listening to you and listening to other guests that I've had on who have really struggled and made some amazing advancements in their lives by dealing with these challenges. And I remember once being at your house for a holiday, and you were talking about going to speaking to prisoners that were in jail. I think they were Jewish prisoners in jail. And I was really, it really touched me. I didn't really get to talk too much about it. But tell me a little bit about that, because that seems to, I don't know, that, you know, that seems like a very special thing.
You know, I think it was one of the beautiful things that the Rebbe taught us, the Lubavitcher Rebbe taught us, is, you know, nobody should be alone. And if you're a prisoner like, again, we don't judge people. Who knows what happened? Who knows what their life was like before that? Who knows who? So a prisoner, a senior citizen in a nursing home, a kid, you know how many stories you hear about it, a kid who heard a good word and had been contemplating suicide. And then, so just, here's the thing. From Frankl, I got purpose. He talks about logotherapy. That's about finding meaning in your life. If you have meaning and a purpose, you can survive anything. That's his main lesson. So you have to have purpose, and you have to find the unity in life and the godliness in life. That means you can't judge anybody else, because everybody's got their little package that they have to live with. So you can't judge anybody. And then the thing is, I think the Rebbe's main advice is that we should love unconditionally, and we should have compassion beyond anything that we've understood before. Not just to love, but to love unconditionally. You know, even in a relationship, even in a marriage, you know, you can, I actually performed a wedding yesterday, and I was thinking there's a love that when you first meet somebody, you know, it's exciting, it's beautiful. And then there's a love where you can say, well, you know, if we do this and this and this, we can live together, we can help each other. But it still has a lot to do with me. Once the love becomes unconditional love, it doesn't matter what I'm getting from the relationship. There's never going to be a point where I say, no, there's nothing in this for me anymore. I'm out of here. It's just like unconditional love means another person is standing in front of you. They may feel alone. They may feel darkness. And don't judge them, and just be there for them. Unconditional love. Just love them like you love a child. It's like you don't judge a child. And another thing is, it's not only for others. I've been thinking about this one lately, but even to feel that way towards the people who have betrayed you, you know, to me, that seems like a lot lesser, although it was traumatic for me, it was a lot lesser evil than the things that we're talking about, suicide and things that could take your life. But nevertheless, it's traumatic, it's difficult, and it puts you in a certain terribly negative place. So to be able to unconditionally love others, which means you have to unconditionally love the people who've betrayed you, because you know what, we believe that everybody, their essence is godliness. God created us, every one of us. When you're born, your birthday is God saying, "I need you. I need you for a purpose." No other of the 5 billion people in the world can do what I need you to do. Now, I know you're feeling down, and I know life is dark, and I know it's difficult, and you've suffered trauma, and maybe from your family, maybe from your genes, it may be from something that happened to you. It doesn't really matter. You have to know that you can overcome that, because at your core is godliness, is truth, is love. And I don't want to sound so corny, really, but if you can find that place, you can say, you know what? It can't conquer me. I can conquer it. If I have this challenge, it will not conquer me. I can learn from this and become a greater person for it. And I think we have to have that love for others, for even people who have hurt us, and even more so towards ourselves. I think this is what's really incredible. We sometimes just put ourselves down. You know, you had this thought, you had this thing, you did that. What kind of person are you? And we do it to ourselves. Sometimes we're our own worst enemy. You have to realize that you yourself have this godliness, this center, this core that can't be tarnished by anything from without. And that's where we have to grow as well. So, you know, as you said something about being alone before. I think I heard Rabbi Jacobson say that when you, if you look into the Torah, the only time God says not good, the word's not good, he says, it's at the beginning of the Genesis, he says, it's not good to be alone. That's the only time it's not good to be alone. And therefore, he has a mate, a relationship for man and woman. And every part of your life is about your relationships. It could be with your spouse, with your children, with your parents, with your boss, with your employees. Every interaction is a relationship. And if you get that, you have something to offer. And so does the other person have something to offer. And if we can focus on that unconditional love and compassion, we can see the purpose that we have and the purpose that they have as well. And it makes a huge difference.
Yeah. No, I'm definitely understanding what you're talking about, and I agree fully with it. And I think that whole idea of being with someone and being able to share at whatever level. When we get back after this commercial, I'll tell you a little quick story I had with a cab driver the other day. You know, I told him a story and we really hit it off. It was not. Anyway, we'll be right back with Rabbi Klar. Thank you.
Are you passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Hi, we're back with Barbara Klar. So you were talking about unconditional love. And one of the things that I thought about, and about relationships, so we all have all different kinds of relationships. So I was with, I was telling you that I have a girlfriend now for a year. Her name is Lizzie. And we just came back from 2 weeks of being in Vail in Los Angeles. And we said goodbye at the airport. She went to Montclair. I came to Jersey City where I live. I hopped in an Uber. And guy just had a friendly looking face, and we started talking. It was a 20-minute ride, and I was feeling, you know, kind of like sad the vacation was over, but feeling good I'm home. And he had such a bright looking face, and we started talking. And I said, he goes, "Where are you coming from?" I told him, and I said, "It's my first time away with this woman for that long." And you know, we were talking about living together, and he goes, "Did you ask the big question?" You know, like, you know, he's talking about getting married, and I said, "I actually, we brought it up a little bit, you know." And I said, "Would you consider that?" You know, and he laughed, and we talked, and it was such a nice 15-20 minute ride back home. And one of the things that Lizzie has says to me a lot, he goes, "You can talk to anybody," and I like that. Yeah. I like talking to people, saying hello, finding out about them, letting them know about me. Right. You also brought up Viktor Frankl's book. I read it three times, and I gave it to my daughter Sarah to read. And I stayed at her apartment. She wasn't there. And I noticed on her by her bed, she had the book there. So when I saw her, when I came back to New York, I said, "Did you read it?" She goes, "Yeah." "And what'd you think of it?" She goes, "I thought it was really good." We didn't really talk much about it, but that book means so much to me because I read it at different times in my life. And I'll tell you one thing that I remember that he said in it. And when the second part of the book, he talks about logotherapy and his students, and he talks about one older man, maybe in his mid to late 60s or 70s. He lost his wife, and he said, "I can't live without her. I can't do it anymore. I can't do it." And he says, "Well, listen, like, what if it was the other way around? What if you had passed on and she was living? So you, in a sense, you have saved. She doesn't have that pain that you have, but having that pain is relieving her of having that pain. So it was all like honor that you are." And to me, I don't know if that's part of unconditional love, but that sounds to me like to be able to love like that and understand that she's gone, but you love her so much that you miss her. And that's part of the beauty of what you have, you still have. Right. And she's not going through that pain. Maybe in some way she is in an afterlife, who knows? But on right here, right now, the way he put it to me really struck a chord. It was like,
you could also say that she wants him to be happy. She wants him to live. That's what she wants. She doesn't want him to be miserable. That doesn't do a soul up above any good at all.
right,
to watch the everybody else being miserable. It's not the way.
Right. But understanding it that, you know, he is there to live his life now, and what he had was a wonderful,
treasure.
Treasure something. I mean, it's hard to lose people that you love. Grief is hard to deal with in so many ways. And you can't measure it. It's like we talked about judging. You know, it's hard to judge a person for that you don't know, or even that you know. When we're talking about prisoners, you talked about unconditional love, and we don't know where some people have come from, what their backgrounds. And I think that's really important to always. I remember once hearing a story about this guy who's on a train. And he saw the father with his kids, and the kids were going crazy on the train. And finally he said, "What's wrong with your kids? Why can't you control them?" And he said, "Well, their mother just passed away, you know." So you don't know what's going on with everybody.
And then all of a sudden the person is, "Oh, I'm so sorry. Can I help you?" Yeah. We shouldn't judge. We don't know.
Yeah. So I think part of, So tell me a little bit more. We're coming to the end of, I think, you know, when I tell people about Chabad, it's hard for me to really describe it, but there's something in it that I love about it that, like you said, it's all over. Earlier in the show, you said how it's all over the world. And I think that's an amazing, beautiful thing that I remember. When I was spending some time in Florida, when my son went to school there, and during the holidays, we went to Chabad. And, you know, I felt like I was home. I felt like I was home, meeting these new people that I didn't know. And they just took us in. Yeah, sit down, pray with us, have something to eat.
It's really people who are dedicating their lives to the things that we're talking about. You don't walk into a Chabad house anywhere in the world. There's like 6,000 institutions now. Wow. You don't walk into any one of them and feel judged. You just don't. It's just not possible. I'm sorry. People give up their lives for other people. It's truly a beautiful thing. You know, the Rebbe who, you know, you would do anything for the Rebbe. The Rebbe would send you to some part of the world. The Rebbe would send you to some part of the world, and it could be Vietnam, it could be anywhere, and you would go. But the Rebbe passed away 25 years ago, and people are still going out. There's still, I mean, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, because it's not the person, it's the message, it's the purpose you have in life. I mean, for me, I ended up in West Orange from Montreal. It's not so difficult, but there are people literally live in countries where they don't speak the language, and the kids go to schools in different countries because they have to go across the border to get. I mean, there's just nothing there. There's no restaurants, kosher restaurants. There's nothing. Basically there are people who give up their lives for other people. They're just by nature wonderful people. And again, not judging, and unconditional love. You know, sometimes you walk into a room where something's going on and you feel like uncomfortable alone. There's so many people there and you just feel like you don't belong. Well, you walk into a Chabad house and people come up to you in a second. And make you feel, I mean, just come on in, where have you been? Can I get you something to eat? You know, like just like your family. And like, and why not? Why not? We are family. We are all one. We are all part of godliness. It's not, you know, you have to live it. If you believe it, you got to live it. And that's what we do. And I think that it doesn't matter who you are. It could be me and my experiences. It could be you and your experiences. Look what you're doing. You went through an experience. It could have stayed black and dark for you, and yet it turned into a life where you're helping so many people. It's like unbelievable. And now you have a podcast and a movie. We can all do that. We all have our traumas that we go through, and And we can turn them around. We can turn the darkness into light. We can make a difference in another person's life. I really think that's what it's all about. I was talking to, I had a woman in my class who was a cancer survivor. And she says she can walk down the street and see a person, another woman going through what she's going through. She can see it in the person's face. And she'll stop and say, you know what? I beat it. You can beat it. Just give people a positive, give them a choice. Give them a choice. Get them out of the, you can't live in your past and you can't live in the darkness. You have to move on. And like you said, sometimes you need people to help you. You know, in a selfish way, when you're helping other people, you're helping yourself or you feel good about yourself. That's not why we do anything that we do, but it's, yeah, I feel like I have a life worth living. I love it. And I'm more excited about it all the time. And I'm learning all the time. I'm not finishing my learning. It's just, it's like almost every day is a new opportunity. It's, you know, you get up in the morning, it's a new day. What am I going to learn today? Who am I going to help today? What am I going to do? How am I going to make the world a better place?
Yeah. Well, listen, Baruch, it's been a real pleasure having you on the show tonight. And I can't believe you were a little nervous about it because you're so comfortable talking. And I'm committed to being here tonight. And let's get together one day soon. And thank you so much. And for anyone who wants to see Extra Innings, it's on Amazon and other platforms right now. And when you have a chance, take a look. And
if anybody wants to meet Chabad, you can go on to you go on the internet to Chabad.org and put in locator. Wherever you are in the world, you'll find the person that's closest to you. And guaranteed is going to be he and she, because it's usually a couple. They will be the best couple you'll ever meet. And take advantage. Great.
Chabad.org. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thanks so much. Have a good
evening. Amazing. Bye. Keep up the good work. I love it.
You too. All right. Be
Thank
well.
Thank you. Thank All you. Right. All the best. All
right. You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Absolutely, sure. And actually,
Michael, we're going to be muted.
Did you know that nearly one in five adults in the U.S. battles mental illness? Hi, my name is Albert Dabba. I'm the host of the show Extra Innings. Extra Innings, I discuss the topics of wellness, mental health, and the experience of surviving multiple suicides within my family. Listen live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern to Extra Innings for discussions with sports figures, artists, mental health professionals, and many others. That's Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
In a post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Have you ever thought of reinventing yourself? Are you looking to create a new life's journey? Hi, I'm Kevin Barbaro, host of Coffee Talk XL every Tuesday night, live, 8 p.m. Eastern, on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live to hear me and my guests from a variety of different backgrounds. As a former college coach and a current full-time actor and owner of multiple companies, my show is as eclectic as my life. That's Coffee Talk XL every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.